Bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father and our Lord, our prayer is that thou wouldst tenderly endow us, Lord, with thy presence and with thy peace, with thy Spirit, Lord, that he may dwell among us and that he might speak to our hearts as we would consider this thy word. And we pray, O God, that thou wouldst be lifted up on high, thou wouldst be magnified, and we, Lord, by thy grace, would be edified. For this we do ask and pray in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For our reading this afternoon, let's read from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5, beginning with verse number 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse number 14. This would be a continuation of the reading from Wednesday night. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. May we kneel before the Lord in prayer upon our knees.
In humbleness, Heavenly Father, we bow before thee this afternoon, realizing that thy word has been read and that we have looked at it in this morning hour and now given another opportunity this afternoon to read what thy Holy Spirit would guide and to direct and to teach, and that we as thy children, the body of believers, that we might be edified and strengthened in our faith and our walk with thee, realizing that we are in need of thee and thy guidance of the Holy Spirit. On our own, we can do nothing, as Christ taught us. And so we must rely upon thee and the guidance and the direction of thy holy and precious word. And so we thank you this afternoon that these words have been preserved down through the ages and that they still stand true and hold our hearts and our desires to serve thee, the living God. Father, we're mindful this afternoon of those that gather with us that don't know thee as their personal Savior, that they might come to the knowledge of the truth while the day of grace is still at hand, and that they might also humble themselves before thee, that they might be lifted up and exalted to be one of your children and accepted into the kingdom of heaven. Father, we know that there are many that don't know thee as their Savior. We know that there are many who don't find it needful and necessary to gather around your word on a day set aside for us like today. And so, Father, we pray that there might be souls still would turn to thee. There would be words that would inspire and strengthen our loved ones that don't know thee, and that there might be an inspiration given whereby they might seek out their very soul salvation with fear and trembling. Heavenly Father, we give thee reverence, praise, honor, and glory because we know and believe that you are our God. You are the one who cares for us and provides all of our very needs. And so as we look into this word this afternoon, we pray an inspiration given to our brother that it might bring fruits of repentance, that it might bring fruits of joy and fruits of love and peace in our hearts and in our minds as we serve thee day by day. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of those that cannot gather for various reasons. Many of old age and many that are sick, perhaps suffering from diseases that cannot be cured, and with crises in their lives, we pray, Father, that they too might look to thee and call upon thee for guidance and direction in their lives as well. We're mindful, Heavenly Father, of our children that gather with us. We're thankful that they could come, and many that have parents that bring them. But we're mindful of those orphans, Heavenly Father, that don't have the benefits of parents, that don't have a loving mom and a loving dad that cares for them and looks out for them. We know that there are many throughout the face of this earth. There are those that are abused, those that are walk the streets without any knowledge of God, any hope of life, merely existing. Heavenly Father, be with them and those orphans that would perhaps call upon thee also. Our widows, we know there are many that gather with us, widowers as well, that rely upon thee and trust in thee and believe in thy holy name, call upon thee in their times of need and desire. So we pray for them, give them strength. For our young people, our married couples, and our seniors, all that rely upon thee, Heavenly Father, hear their needs, provide the very comfort and guidance that is needed in their lives as well. So as we sit for learning, Heavenly Father, bless us. May we attentively listen to the words that would become from the leading of the Holy Spirit, that we might apply them to our lives, even in this afternoon hour. Be with us, bless us now as we call upon thee and thank thee, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
One of the things that we heard this morning, hour, that really touched me was the truth that if we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, that He will lift us up. And that's a truth that's been played out throughout time over and over, that if we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, He will lift us up. And we saw that played out with Jesus Christ as we read there in Philippians 2 this morning, that He humbled Himself and put upon Himself the form of a servant and even became obedient even unto the death of the cross. And by that, God blessed Him and gave Him a name that was above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord unto the glory of God the Father. And so that's just a truth that's played out over and over in lines throughout the annals of time, that if we humble ourselves before the Lord, that He will lift us up. Because we also know that in Proverbs it speaks that pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. And so we do well, Lord, when we humble ourselves before the Lord and allow His Spirit to guide us and direct us and be submissive to Him in all aspects of our lives. So I was appreciative of that message. This afternoon, we have before us the second half of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, a, a, a chapter that speaks of much of exhortation, of being ready for the Lord's return. And we see of the end, at the end of chapter 4, it talks about the Lord when he comes. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air," or in the clouds, "to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And this is the time, as we heard that this morning, that there is going to be a resurrection of the just and a resurrection of the unjust. The resurrection of the unjust shall be to damnation, but the resurrection of the just will be to life eternal. And this is what we want to prepare ourselves for. This is what's very important, is to prepare ourselves for the time that we just read here, that when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, this is what we want to prepare our lives for. We're not here on earth to understand theology in all of in everything that theology means. We're not here to glorify an administration or an operations, as we read about this morning as well in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's not what's going to prepare us for the Lord's coming. It's not that when the Lord appears and he comes in great power and in great glory, the first thought is not that, boy, I wish I understood what the menorah stood for. Boy, I wish I knew what was in the Ark of the Covenant. What was in that Ark of the Covenant? Or I'm glad I wasn't part of this administration or that operations. No, but it'll be, were we faithful to the things that were written here in this chapter and in the exhortations that are given unto us as believers to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord? Were we sober, as it speaks here earlier in this chapter? Did we have faith, love, and hope? Did we comfort ourselves together? Did we edify ourselves together? Did we esteem those that are over us in the Lord highly in love? Were we at peace among ourselves? And then these other things that are written here as well that with the Lord's help we'll go through. These exhortations are what's going to prepare us and to make us ready when the Lord comes. And so this is what we are to focus on in our lives, that all aspects of our lives, we would follow these exhortations, that we would then be counted worthy and be ready when the Lord comes again. And so he begins this portion of the scriptures here by saying, "We exhort you." Again, this is an exhortation. This is where we are exhorted and encouraged to follow in. And he says, "Brethren, warn them that are unruly." There is going to be consequences for unruliness. Those consequences are going to be destruction. And so there's a warning that needs to go out to those that are unruly, to those who will not submit themselves, those who will not humble themselves in the sight of the Lord. And so there's a warning that needs to be sent out to those that are unruly. And then there is comfort that should be given to those who are feeble-minded. And there is support that needs to be given to the weak. And we are to be patient toward all men. These are exhortations that are given to each one of us that we would be able by his grace to be prepared when the Lord comes again. And so these are the exhortations. We are all different. There's obviously those of us here that are physically stronger than others. But the same is true emotionally or mentally, that there are those here that are stronger than others emotionally or mentally. Others break down quickly, and some can endure many things. And so we need to meet people to where they're at. Comfort the feeble-minded. If somebody is feeble-minded, we are to be there to comfort them and to help them. And when we do that, the Lord will be well pleased. And we are exercising ourselves in the Spirit, because one of the verses, maybe perhaps, that we can focus on and consider as we are going through these verses is verse number 19, where it says, "Quench not the Spirit." And so the Spirit's going to direct us into all these exhortations that are given here in this chapter. The Spirit's going to direct us, and the Spirit's going to guide us into these ways. And so when we see somebody who is feeble-minded, the Spirit is going to direct us to comfort such an individual. When we see someone that's weak, the Spirit is going to guide us to support such a one. And then again, we're all different and unique in our own ways, yet but it's the same Spirit and the same Lord as we read this morning. But we are to be patient toward all men. So when somebody is unique or different from us, we are to be patient toward all men. Some of us like things to go along a little quicker, and some like it to go along a little slower. But we are to be patient one with another. There are many examples of how we're unique one from another. As we read this morning, there's a lot of uniqueness, but it's all the same Spirit, and it's all the same Lord. But the Spirit will direct us into being patient toward all men. There's a verse in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, where it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness." In that spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So if somebody is overtaken in a fault, the Spirit is going to direct us to help that individual, to pray for him, to pray for her and speak with them and comfort them and help them and support them in their hour of weakness. And so the Spirit directs us in all these things. And then he continues on and says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man," that's any man, not simply those brothers and sisters in Christ, but towards any man, "see that none render evil for evil, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." All men. Render not evil for evil. Again, this is what the Spirit is going to direct us to. And when we don't respond with railing, when someone rails against us, when we don't respond to them with railing, the Spirit is directing us in that way, and we're following after that which is good, and that which edifies, and that which builds up. This is what the Jesus has taught in the Sermon on the Mount, and in other places of the Bible it's written. Jesus says, he brings forth a truth, and then he says, "But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him also the other." This can only happen with the direction of the Holy Spirit guiding us in these ways. Because if somebody rails against us, the human nature wants to rail right back. But Jesus Christ is teaching us, and the Holy Spirit is guiding us, and if we quench him not, that we would not resist evil, that we would not retaliate, that we would turn the other cheek also. And Jesus also continues on, and he says again, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." So it's not railing for railing or evil for evil, but it's contrarywise a blessing. And again, we can only do this through the Spirit. As the Spirit, as he would direct us, and we quench him not, we are able to do this. Truly something that is amazing, to love our enemies, to bless those that would curse us, to do good to them that hate us, and to pray for them that would despitefully use us and persecute us. Only God can give that grace. Only God can give that grace to each and every one of us, that we would love, that we would do good, that we would bless, and that we would pray for our enemies. Only God in his goodness can give us that grace to do that, and it would be not of ourselves, and he would be receiving the glory. And then further, with this thought of here where he speaks, render not evil for evil, but ever follow that which is good with all men. The Bible also says, finally, be ye all of one mind, we read that this morning, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be full of pity, be courteous. Something that's lacking in our society today, being courteous, and not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. So let's consider that. God gives us grace. He gives us his Spirit. We are a blessing unto others. And then because we're a blessing unto others, we inherit a blessing. And the Bible says that when we do these things and we love our enemies and we pray for them and we bless them and we do good unto them, that we'll have a calling. You know what that calling is? Children of God. That's what our calling will be. And so again, we are given these exhortations that when we, by his grace, fulfill these exhortations, that will qualify us to be ready for Jesus' return. And so he continues on and he says, rejoice evermore. Rejoice. Rejoice in what? Well, we read that not too long ago, Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And we can rejoice in the Lord at all times. We have much to rejoice over. Jesus said, in the world you're going to have tribulation. You will. This will happen. You will have tribulation in the world. But he says, but be of good cheer or rejoice. Jesus says, for I have overcome the world. So as we go through tribulation, as all Christians will suffer persecution, as we go through these things, we can rejoice because we're rejoicing in the Lord. All is not lost. It never has been, and it never will be, because God is still on the throne, and no man will be able to dethrone him. No society, no legislation, nothing will be able to dethrone God. He will always be on the throne, and in that we can rejoice. And in that we can rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, and rejoice in all things, because we know that God is ultimately in control, always has been, and always will be. And so he continues on and says, here, more exhortation, pray without ceasing. Pray continuously. Pray that God's grace would be with us. As he closes out this chapter, and he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And so this is what we need in our lives, is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we need for ourselves. And so if we know that we need grace, we know that all of us need grace. And so as we pray unceasingly, we would pray that not only grace for ourselves, but grace for one another. Grace for my brother, grace for my sister, grace for our friends to overcome the evil one and to be able to convert and repent. Grace for each and every one of us. Because we have an enemy of our soul that wants to destroy us. So that's what these are some things that we can pray for and pray unceasingly for, is grace for ourselves, grace for one another, the grace of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. We can also pray for God's glory to be known here upon this earth. And there are efforts that are in place that God's glory would be known here upon this earth. For those efforts, we ought to pray. We need to pray. Some of these efforts are formal. There's missions or there's programs in place where God's glory is known, helping the fatherless, widows, the orphans of this world, there are programs in place, whatever programs that might be, even as it is this weekend in Windsor for the All-Ontario Sing, programs in place that glorify God. But there's also things done that aren't formal, and they yet glorify God too, that our prayers are to be for any effort, formal or informal, that they would glorify God. And then we can also be in prayer for us to be a part of something that's bigger than that of ourselves. There are opportunities available, many opportunities available, for us to be a part of things that are simply bigger than ourselves. And we can pray for those opportunities. But in all things, whatever we're praying for, all things, it needs to be that God would be glorified. God would be glorified in everything. And so we ought to pray without ceasing for these things. The song says, prayer can change the night to day. And it's such a beautiful thought that when we see despair, or we see that things aren't just going as we would want them to for God's honor and glory, we can see, we can testify, because we've experienced it, that prayer can change the night to day. Continues on here and says, in everything give thanks. Everything. When we receive the blessings of God, we give thanks. When we go through a trial, we give thanks. When things aren't fair for us, we give God thanks. In all things, give thanks. Again, this can change our perspectives, our attitudes in a significant way. Things can be extremely better for us when we give God thanks for everything. It says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We always ask, what's the will of God? We want to fulfill the will of God. Well, here the Bible is saying, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, that in everything you give thanks. And so in everything we ought to give thanks to God. Throughout the day, whatever's transpiring, thank God. We thank you, Lord. In all things. And then when Jesus Christ comes again, this will cause us to be a genuine, authentic believer and ready for Christ's return, when we are thankful in everything, giving God thanks in everything. And then he says, despise not prophesying. And another word for prophesying could be the word, because it is all God's word. And so we are not to despise anything of the word that comes forth of the word, because the word gives life. The word of God equals life. And so the Gospel of John starts by saying, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And so in all things, we ought to be very thankful for the word of God, as it gives us life, as it gives us direction, as it gives us hope. As we can read it and meditate upon it, and it just gives us that peace and that comfort, that knowing that God is faithful, he's in control, and all things will be well with us if we yield ourselves to him, following the direction of the Spirit. And so he continues on and says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearances of evil. I believe those words don't even need any meditation on them. It's simply the truth. If there's something good, hold that fast. Do that. Prove all things, whether they glorify God or whether they glorify man or ourselves. And he says, abstain from all appearances of evil. If we're the children of God and we're shining forth the light of God to this world, we cannot have any appearances of evil. Continues on and says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. The very God of peace. That's who God is. This is his definition. A definition of God is God of peace. In four other places in the New Testament, it's written the same way, God of peace. And so he said, so the Bible writes here and says, the very God of peace. And the next epistle, 2 Thessalonians, closes that way too, where he says, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord of peace, the God of peace. If God's, as we mentioned Wednesday night, if God is giving me peace, and if God is giving you peace, then it is very easy that we be at peace among ourselves, as is written in verse number 13 of our chapter this afternoon, that we would be at peace among ourselves, because the God of peace is directing us into his ways. The God of peace is going to direct us in the ways of peace. And so the Bible says that if we don't follow peace with all men, the Bible says that follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So if we don't follow peace with men, we will not see the Lord. But if we follow peace with men, our whole spirit and soul and body will be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, the ultimate goal in life is that we are ready for the Lord's return when he comes in power and great glory. And so a smart way to go about things is to begin with the end in mind. What's the ultimate goal? Where are we trying to go? And then put processes in place to get to that goal. And so the ultimate goal that we have is that we would be found ready and that we would be found worthy when Jesus Christ comes again. And so if we have peace in our hearts, if we are patient with all men, if we rejoice, if we are praying, if we quench not the Spirit, if we love the Word, if we prove all things, hold fast that which is good, and abstain from all appearances of evil, we will be ready for when the Lord comes. This is the ultimate goal for each and every one of us, is that we are ready when Christ comes in power and in great glory. This is how we will be ready. It's not about theology. It's not about administrations or operations. It's about being ready when the Lord comes. And then he continues on and says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. What a beautiful definition of God as well, of the Lord, that he's faithful. He's faithful in all things. God is faithful. He will, whatever he brings us to, he will give us grace to fulfill that. He will do it. He called us unto this walk of life, and he will give us grace day by day. Grace of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. He is faithful. And we read in 1 Corinthians about being tempted. And the Bible says that here in this verse that we will not be tempted above that which we are able to bear. Well, let me just read it. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. So none of us are going to be overly tempted, or something's going to come upon us greater than that which we are able to bear. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Right here in the middle of this verse, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. And so here's another definition of God. He's a God of peace, but he's also faithful. And he will not allow the evil one to tempt us with something greater than that which we are able to bear. He's faithful. And so we can claim that promise and apply it to our lives, that God is faithful. We can rest upon that. And there's something that we can give God thanks for, and that we can rejoice in, that God is faithful. He will never let us down. He is faithful. And then he continues on, and appreciate this chapter of these small verses, just a few words in some of these verses, just three or four words in each of these verses. And here's another one, verse number 25, where he says, brethren, pray for us. Here it was, we might think of the Apostle Paul as a stalwart Christian, a believer of great magnitude, but yet he's saying, pray for us. It's no different for us as well. We as ministers, as we would proclaim the word, our prayer is that you would pray for us that nothing but the word of God would be proclaimed, that it would be solely the scriptures that would be proclaimed, and that God would be glorified in the scriptures that would be proclaimed, that it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that comes forth. That should be a prayer for all of us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. He writes. God's word needs to go forth. His exhortation needs to be given to each and every one of us, that we would follow in his way, that we would apply these truths to our lives and live by them continuously. Live by them continuously, 24/7, all the time, in season, out of season, that we would live according to these principles, that when the Lord comes, we would be ready, and that in all things we would glorify God. All things we would glorify God. These are the exhortations of the Word of God. This is what this is what brings forth life. This is what will qualify us to be a genuine, authentic believer. This which is written in God's Word. So the question is, the Lord is coming. Are you ready? Amen.
This afternoon, our brother started off with warning us for the reason that Christ is coming again, and that we should be prepared for that day. And I'm reminded of what the prophet Ezekiel said when God came to him and he said, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. You see, we have brothers in the ministry find it needful and necessary, first of all, for ourselves, that we are warned by his word, and that might be related as well to those of that hear the word. And so he says, nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned, also thou shalt deliver thy soul. You see, if we don't warn the wicked from their ways, their blood will be on us. We don't want that. So we find it needful and necessary for these warnings. So as the Lord has exhorted us in this day, let us take it from the words from him, from the leading of the Holy Spirit, led and guided by God himself. Let us take heed to the warnings, that we might live our lives pleasing in his sight. Amen.